gentlemen. Podcasting since 2005. You are listening to Gamertag Radio with your hosts Godfrey, Pete Rock, Paris, Pasta.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 515. This is the host, Godfrey. You know, so you could call me Danny. And of course, we have Pete Rock in the house. Pete.
What's up? I'm amped up, full of three espressos. I'm ready to go. Let's do this.
Really? Wait, three espressos? Really?
Yeah. I had to go pick up my son. Or I had to go drop off this amazing Nightwing outfit that my wife did. Yesterday for his Halloween party, and
ooh, nice.
It's insane the creativity that this woman has. God bless her. And
shout to her.
Yeah, I went to go drop it off, and when we went there, we met up at the Barnes and Nobles, and I decided to have a triple venti cafe mocha. So I'm kind of amped up and I'm fidgety, and let's get this done.
And you're like really, really awake.
Oh, I'm going to have trouble and difficulty going to sleep tonight. So.
Dude, by the way, tomorrow I gotta wake up super early. I gotta be on the Taz show up and on Play It. Make sure to go to thetazshow.com. Shout out to Taz. I'm gonna be there talking about video games and a little bit about WWE 2K16 and stuff. So, and of course, GTR, Gamertag Radio. But I'm definitely gonna be playing a little bit of that audio, a little bit. On Thursday, so stay tuned for Thursday's Gamertag Radio episode 516. I'm gonna have it there so you can listen to it. It's gonna be really, really cool. So stay tuned. All right, Boston, welcome to the show, man.
Hey,
you're back.
Up,
what's up?
You never get to me, Pete. I like that you're rocking the espresso. I think I have to be the Bizarro to your Superman because I'm. This is a drinking night for me. One of the rare occasions where I drink and podcast. So.
Nice.
I am nice. Very in the mood to talk about video games because I just watched that whole, we'll talk about this in a bit, but there was a big Paris Games Week that went on just the other day, like an hour and 40 minute presentation. I drank like two beers, watched that whole thing in one sitting, and man, do I feel like a 16-year-old again, ready to like games are the best thing ever. Oh man, let's talk about this. So yeah wow.
He's gonna be flipping tables and all kinds of stuff.
That's why I have another beer right now to kind of like mellow me out so I don't get too excited on the show. Because, you know, no one wants to hear me fanboy.
I'm drinking a beer, too.
All right.
Pete,
shout out to
I'm
beer.
In shock. Out of all people, Pete is not drinking.
It's because we're drinking. If we all drink, then it becomes a different show. So we have to balance each other out a little bit. So, Pete, you gotta keep us on our game. You're going to notice all the little mistakes we make.
It's funny. It's funny you said that, like, you were going to counter me. I'm like, oh, whoa, was he taking, like, a down or something?
Yeah, I'm on heavy sedatives right now, and I'm about to... But, No. Just beer. Good old-fashioned beer.
Very quick, I want to give a shout out to Paris. It's his birthday. Shout out to the man himself, Paris.
That's right.
Thank God he's not playing Destiny right now. He's outside.
No
seeing
way.
Seeing the real world.
What?
Finally, he's out. So shout out to Paris, man. So
well, good for
have
him.
Fun, man.
Because there's a party in Destiny right now, by the way.
Yeah, I just want to make a note that Danny brought up Destiny, not me. I know. Shout out to Shout out to one of our listeners that always says that I always got to bring up Destiny during the game. It wasn't me. Okay.
All right. It was me. But hey, I'm giving Paris a shout out. This is
blame
birthday,
Danny.
Man.
Hashtag blame
birthday,
Danny.
Paris.
Yeah. Let's get that trending.
Yeah. So head over to gamertagradio.com or play.it, and this is our past episodes. And make sure to share with your friends. Subscribe on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher. You know, Spotify, we're everywhere. Just share with your friends and help us increase our listeners' numbers, man. All right. We're doing really, really good, but hey, we could do better. All right. Also, give us a call 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. Or email us fanmail@gamertagradio.com. This week, we have a lot of things going on for this episode. We have a review of Guitar Hero Live. Also, we have Pete is going to be reviewing Assassin's Creed Syndicate.
That's correct.
For the Xbox One, correct?
That's correct. The Emerald.
The Emerald.
The mighty Emerald.
I have the PlayStation 4 version.
I do as well.
And you too. I haven't had a chance. Like, I played it, then I stopped. I've been reviewing other games and stuff, but eventually I'm going to sit back, or, you know, one of these days and just play the game. Mm-hmm. So far, what I played, I really, really like it. So I'm very curious what P had to say about this.
Me as well. Yeah, I've only cleared the first district, but I had a pretty fun time. I can't lie.
Yeah, it's pretty, really good. Much better than Unity.
Yeah, man. They took some feedback, I'm sure. Good for Ubisoft.
What else? We're going to be talking about PlayStation. They had a huge press conference a couple days ago.
Like a second E3. It kind of like took me a surprise. I can't even lie.
Yeah. And here's the crazy thing. It's right before their PlayStation Experience happening in December. Now, we're thinking about it. Not 100% sure. We're still working on a couple things, but one of us might be attending to this event. Hopefully, if everything goes well. And if it does, hey, we definitely going to be recording a lot of interviews over there. So stay tuned for that. Not 100%. We're still working on it. Now, Pawson, we got to see this this press conference.
Boy, did we ever.
I didn't watch it live. I know there was a lot of people talking about it on Twitter and everything like that. And the first thing I did, I was like, yo, I hit up Paris, Pete, Pawson. I'm like, yo, you guys need to see this. This is really, really good, man. For a non-E3 press conference.
Yeah. This could have been an E3 press conference.
I mean, yeah, it easily could have been an E3 press conference. Easily. Like, I really, really enjoyed it. But let's talk about a couple of things that they showed. I know they start off with a couple of, like, independent games to show their... the one that I got my attention, I know I mentioned to you behind the scenes... is it Vector? That's what it's called?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're
the music game?
So we don't confuse anybody. We're going to jump around between these. I wrote them all down in chronological order as they were announced so I wouldn't get confused myself.
So you don't... Go for it. I want you... Because you have everything written down.
Okay. You want to do it that way? Because I don't mind jumping around.
Yeah, go for that.
I did the same thing. And, you know, of course, you know, Danny was unprepared for the show. It's okay.
Oh, yeah.
Wing it.
I have too many things going on. It's all good.
I can't.
Okay, so I guess we'll do chronologically then. So the show starts off. It has one, you know, PlayStation just does the best montages of any company. I adore them so greatly. Great music choice. So first off, we started off with the a new video for Black Ops 3, the Zombies multiplayer mode, which I can't lie. It's become so cinematic and so AAA in the presentation and with this new next-gen gameplay engine. I may be re-hooked on zombies, and I haven't been into Call of Duty Zombies probably since the original World at War, and maybe Black Ops 1 just a little bit, but it never really was my thing. You know, I wasn't into it like other people are, but based off the little bit of footage that we saw, mostly it was CGI, not too much actual gameplay in there, kind of jumping around, quick cuts, but the style of it, the large maps, the focus on the creativity like the past games have been, but it seems like they've just taken that up to 11 now. I'm very impressed. It looks very impressive.
I think I'm
already probably sold on Black Ops 3 as a single-player, multiplayer game. But now knowing that this is going to be a part of it as well, because I kind of keep forgetting that Treyarch, this is their thing. This is their zombie mode. But seeing it return like this, this feels like a next-gen zombie mode. Like, you know, it's like, oh, wow, shot across the board. You know, where's my Left 4 Dead 3 now? Now that I've got this, you know, let's see some competition against this. So very impressed by that. I can't lie. Great transition. Go ahead.
Very quick. Pete. Did it get you sent to? Because you like Call of Duty. You're a fan.
So
be real.
I'm amped for the multiplayer. I'm kind of in between on this on the single player. I've always enjoyed and appreciated the single player, regardless of whether it's a 10-hour experience or it's a 4-hour experience, as we've been recently getting.
Yes.
The zombie mode, honestly, it's never something, it's for me personally, it's just never been something that I've like, oh, I got to go home and do zombies for 4 hours.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's fine.
It's just not me. I mean, I can see where they're going with it, you know, the 4-player co-op experience and, you know, trying to survive. I dig it. I can appreciate it. It's just not for me. It does look cool. I'm not going to lie. The ability to use a katana sword.
Yeah, I'm like, how did I forget to say that?
Gave me a chubby, but
you can use a katana.
Yeah, I don't know if it's. I just don't know if I'm. It'll be something that I'll spend more time on versus the multiplayer.
Yeah, okay. No, I don't think I'll spend more time.
I really dug and enjoyed the multiplayer beta that came out a couple of months ago. Albeit as ragged and as buggy as it was, it really got me amped up and excited for a COD title, which hasn't happened in 2 years. So
okay, All right, so keep it up.
Form.
Pasta next. We are real quick. We got to.
I know. Bang, 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 bang. All right. So, I won't spend too long on this, but first, Street Fighter V news. Oh my God, Street Fighter. Can't wait. Biggest Street Fighter fan on the podcast. No lie. So they've confirmed there's going to be 16 characters at launch. They've announced 15 so far. The new one announced at the show is Dhalsim. It's confirmed return. He's got
looks
a beard
very
now. He's older, different. He's got new moves, new supers.
He's gained some weight too. He's got some chunk on him.
He finally started eating. He's like, you know what? I'm hungry.
He's getting that
hungry
money
for 20 years. I need to get some food in me. But he looked fun. I'm not a Dhalsim player, but he seems like, you know, the players that like Dhalsim will appreciate the new style of him. What the note here that I really appreciated, I mean, obviously, the game's going to come out in February 16th, 2016, Europe and North American simultaneous release. Unsure about Japan right now. But what got my attention, they confirmed there'll be six characters DLC in the first year, in 2016, and they can all be attained with the in-currency fight money system that the game has, not a separate, you know, like what silver is in Destiny, where you have to purchase it with money. This is a reward system that you receive for doing well at the game. So if you save up the money, when the characters come out, you can just buy the characters with your hard-earned playtime, which is a great move. That's the way any fighting game should be. Because you don't want to alienate people by putting out new DLC right after launch, and people get.
I'm trying to hold Pete. I'm trying to hold Pete because he's like, "What? Did you just call my game out?" I'm trying to hold him out.
Hey, man, so silver is not the coolest concept ever, and I love Destiny. Let's be honest here.
I'm trying to keep my mouth shut. I don't want to be that dude, so let's just keep moving.
That's twice.
I dug twice. The Street Fighter, but the fighting title that got me like, "Whoa, Tekken 7."
Yep.
What?
Yeah, it looks cool.
The 20th anniversary, Heihachi. What?
Yep, doing a
no
prequel.
Release date
old school.
From what I understand, it is no a release date, so it's still in development.
Yeah,
but
I just don't see this game coming out in 2016. I don't see it. Maybe early 2017.
I could see late 2016. I don't know.
I don't see it. I don't see it.
Okay, so let me bring up this point too. They also announced
this is a PlayStation exclusive.
Yes,
by the way.
It is.
Okay. Well, if I'm not mistaken, every video with the exception of. Actually, no. Everything was PlayStation exclusive related,
or like had PlayStation exclusive DLC. That was their whole keynote. Was,
right,
was
but this, almost every video started with a PlayStation exclusive.
Exactly.
So,
most of the new game announcements were PlayStation only titles.
Can you believe? Look, Xbox and freaking PlayStation took my word and just put it on their press conference every time, man. Exclusive.
It's the way to do it. That's how you build an audience. People be like, oh man, I gotta get a PS4. But one quick note before we move on from Tekken, they confirmed it's gonna have VR support from Morpheus. I have no idea how that would work in a fighting game, but I really, really want to try it now. So that sounds bizarre.
Super curious about that.
Are you the camera looking down? Are you first person? Would that just make you throw up like immediately trying to like, sounds like sensory overload, but I'm all on board. Sign me up. I want to try it. So hopefully they have that.
I hope it's not like, hey, here's an extra TV. You just connect it and play. Like, I hope it's not like that.
I don't think they'd go to the trouble if it wasn't something cool, you know, at least something decent. But let's move on. Let's talk about Battleborn now. The new game from the guys who made Borderlands. So this, if you know nothing about Battleborn at all, if you're familiar with the League of Legends or Dota 2 concept, the MOBA concept, now they're turning it into a first-person shooter with a unique cel-shaded style art style that Borderlands is famous for, with, I believe they said, 25 character classes at launch to pick from, and it has player versus player, 5v5. You can do cooperative player, like 10 players against the environment, mixing
and
magic.
Play story.
Play a story, like a lot of cool features, a lot of gameplay, a lot of bang for your buck. This seems like this will be very popular. I could see this being heavily marketed as a go-to, you know, family-friendly pick-up-and-play title. Getting people into the MOBA concept that would be too intimidated to play the League of Legends, the Dotas, the Heroes of the Storms out there, so... Battleborn looked impressive. And it's coming to PS4 first as well, in terms of the beta at least. So, you know, in terms of us getting our hands on it, if you have PS4, you're going to get to play it before anyone else does, even the PC players
now,
out there.
I don't want to get everybody confused. I don't think it's a MOBA.
You don't think so? It looks like one in practice.
It has the tendencies and components and elements of MOBAs, but I don't think it's a pure MOBA in the vein of League of Legends.
Well, no,
Dota
because it's first person.
Like
that changes everything.
So... I don't want people thinking, you know, oh my God, it's going to be top down, you know, it's RTS type.
This YouTube Battleborn, watch the game. There's actual gameplay out there from this, from the Paris Game Show Week. You can see what the game is like. So it's one of those things when you see it, you're either going to be like, oh, cool, or like, nah, pass.
Think MOBA version of, let's say, Gigantic or a TF2 or something like that, and that'll probably
more gigantic.
A gigantic TF2 like fusion with the MOBA concept.
So, and that's probably the best way to.
We've gotten so genre-bending in 2015, 2016, now it's hard to even clarify what games are anymore. We're just like, oh, that looks cool, I want to play that. That's about all we can say for most things.
This is Gamer Tag Radio. Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
Just last night, I went out to celebrate my friend's birthday. Pete Rock went out to check out May Day performing here in Miami, Florida. But before we went out, we used Harry's. This is by far one of my favorite razors, and I've been using this for months. Harry's.com was started by two guys who are passionate about creating a better shaving experience. For Gamertag Radio listeners, Harry's is giving $5 off your first purchase of a starter set with coupon code GTR. Harry's starter set is a month worth of shaving. It comes with a razor, three Harry's high-quality German engineer blades, and a bottle of shaving cream. All shipped straight to your door for free. Harry's.com delivers a superior shave for an incredible price. Harry's bought a razor factory in Germany that has been crafting some of the world's highest quality blades for almost a century. By cutting out the middleman, Harry's offers an amazing shave at a fraction of the price of drugstore brands. Shipping is free, and the blades go from their German factory straight to your door at a factory direct prices. Say goodbye to choosing between the expensive brands and say hello to Harry's. High quality blades at a price you will love. Go to harrys.com right now and enter promo code GTR at checkout to get $5 off your first purchase. Get a month's worth of shaving for just $10 with promo code GTR at checkout. That's harry.com, promo code GTR.
Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
All right, next game.
All right, moving on. Now we're going to get in 2016. These are confirmed PlayStation exclusives coming out next year. We have Boundless, which at first I thought was Minecraft, but no, it actually is. Looks like a Minecraft killer from Sony. This is...
I don't know about we'll say Minecraft killer.
It looks like... As a person who doesn't play Minecraft at all, I saw that video. I'm like, wow, I would much rather play that than Minecraft. Because
graphically looks crazy.
Oh, not even graphically. It's just crazy. A concept of having, you know, essentially, if you don't know anything about this game at all, it's essentially the Minecraft style game of building things in first person, but you have these portals, these doors, and they all connect these different universes. And it looks like it's always online. So people are running around between different worlds at will, you know, kind of like the Matrix hallway door setup, you know, kind of thing. So from what I saw, it looked very impressive. You know, obviously no gameplay was shown other than just like, this is what this is. This is how you move around. This is the style of it. But I was very impressed, and that's coming from a person who has like almost no interest in Minecraft whatsoever. So if this is them taking that concept and expanding on it, that's cool. And you know, I don't want to put down people who like Minecraft by calling it a Minecraft killer, but that's just like the first thing that jumped in my head was like, wow, this looks like the next logical step forward in the Minecraft style idea, because these are very popular with the younger generations right now. So I can see the younger kids picking this up immediately if they have a PS4 and be like, oh man, this is just like Minecraft, but they have new features or new content. So looks exciting.
I'm not going to lie, I just don't see it, but
that's just me. All right, so moving on, let's talk about Vector, which is a new music game from the DJ producer Avicii.
I'm very curious about this guy. I'm not going to lie. I don't know what it is. It got my attention.
Yes, no gameplay was shown. Just very vague, almost looked kind of like that, what is it, that audio surf game on Steam where you control the ship.
Can I say something about that?
No,
very
go
quick.
Ahead.
I was very disappointed. I hate when a company are showing like a press conference and they play their trailer and then the camera zooms far away, not actually showing the trailer, they're going far away so you can see the crowd.
They
want to
see
the press conference
perform, because that's the whole thing is like, you know, if you're a fan of Avicii, like, oh, you had to pick this up. This guy has got new music from him in this game.
That's the thing. I'm talking about the actual press conference, not the trailer. Mm-hmm. The actual press conference, the camera zoomed out and they show the screen of the trailer from far away and they show the crowd sitting down watching the press conference. Please, Sony, you've done this in the past. If you're going to get cameramen that's going to be, you know, showing a new trailer, just show the trailer. Don't zoom out. the game got my attention. It just bothered me. I hate when companies do that during press conferences.
I guess.
It kills the vibe. It kills the vibe.
They just didn't want to focus too much because it's an alpha version of gameplay, and they probably have not even nailed down what they want to do to it yet. But, I mean, I kind of like Avicii's music, so I'm kind of already interested in, I just call it EDM now because I hate putting music into genres because people always call me out. It's like, that's not what that genre is. I'm just like, I'm just going to call it electronic dance music. So that's the catch-all term. It looks fun. I could see myself playing it. I like music games. So moving on. Then we got No Man's Sky. It exists. It's a real game. It's coming out June of next year, and it has space combat and ground combat. So the million-dollar question, Peter, is that enough to make you care about No Man's Sky now that you can shoot stuff in space and on the ground?
Pete. Be real, Pete.
Yawn. One word, four letters. Yawn.
Motive.
I have no desire to play this game
whatsoever
at all.
Okay.
Yes, okay. I drank copious amounts of Kool-Aid a year and a half ago, 2 years ago when they announced it. After E3, I don't want to play Google Space Maps. It's not for me.
All right. I still have a huge question mark. I don't know what's going on. Please, a listener, please email me. Tell me why I should buy my
Google Space Maps.
Buy this game.
Danny, let's be real for a second. Let's be real. Yeah. That trailer that they showed at the game, that is the final game. That's what it's going to be. If what you saw right there doesn't interest you, I can almost promise you that you're not going to care about the final game.
I don't know.
Because the thing is, here's the catch. The catch is, do you want to be that person that gets to discover a new randomly generated world and have your name attached to it? So when other people land on this world, if they can find it, because it's a huge universe, it'll be like, hey, Godfrey found this planet. This is Godfrey's planet. And you're like, oh, cool,
really?
That's neat. I have a sense of achievement from that.
These
are the same kinds of people that put their names and buy stars so they can name them. Like, that is the same kind of appeal that I'm feeling from this game. Now, I'll be the optimist here. It looks kind of fun. I would try it out. But I don't see myself putting hours into that game.
How is that fun, though?
I like exploring in games. This is coming from a guy who used to play Myst back in the day. I like exploring in games, so sue me.
I love exploring games. Don't get me wrong. I just don't know, like, why I should get this game.
Hey, I'll tell you what it has that Destiny doesn't have. You can fly your damn ship, and you can't do that in Destiny. So automatically, that makes me kind of care right there.
Yo, that's three times. P haven't said the word.
I'll say that word, the D word.
Next.
Right, so then we got Matterfall, which, you know, it was a CGI trailer, so I can't really be too specific about it, but it seemed to be a new shooter focusing on the concept of, like, you are some bio-engineered life form that can form almost like Mega Man style. You can turn your arm into a gun and vice versa, and you're fighting enemies made out of, like, plastic pixels. It was very confusing. It was very quick. It just seemed like a new shooter based around the concept of physics and, you know, like Lego style chipping stuff away. Again, we don't know hardly anything about it at this point, so I'll just move on for sake of brevity. Okay, so then now we're getting into big stuff now. Horizon Zero Dawn got a new gameplay trailer, and this is from the guys who made Killzone Guerrilla Games. Wow.
your thoughts. Why?
Hunting in the Great Plains of 3000 AD Kansas. I don't even know where the game is supposed to take place. I don't know if it's 1,000 years from where we are right now. The apocalypse has happened. No one really knows why, because everyone is now back to being a tribal indigenous society that hunts giant freaking robot dinosaurs. I mean, again, that's all I need. You guys' thoughts? Does that new trailer get you more excited about Horizon than you already were?
It's the same gameplay video from E3. I swear, when I saw the guy stand up and walk away with the controller, I was like, that's the same video we watched at E3, though. Like, I didn't see anything different. Yeah, go back and watch it.
All right,
exactly,
I'd have to.
The same
is game. It, my memory's a little fuzzy right
it
now.
Was a scripted gameplay video. It was exactly the same.
Okay.
Okay.
I like the concept, though. It looks fun.
I'm not gonna try and detract from it. It did look cool. It still holds that curiousness. And is this something that, you know, will succeed? I don't want to use as it's a Halo killer or whatever.
I think it's a AAA game. I think it will do well. It just won't hit those numbers that they want to hit because it is a different style of game. Now, that there could be a lot more to the game than what we've known at this point. There could be something now the second half of the game is completely different from the first half kind of situation.
Like, I like the whole crafting component that they talked about. I was like, I don't remember them bringing that up when we first saw it at the E3 Sony press conference. So I think that's pretty cool. still remains to be seen if it's going to sit there and going to take, it's going to be able to take on those top dog, you know, shooter type games like the Far Cry's and the Uncharted.
Yeah, it
and
seems
stuff like
kind
that.
Of like a Q1, Q2 release versus a
yeah,
Q4
they
release.
Just said 2016. I don't think they specified when that game
because they don't
drop.
Want to put it up against, you know, the juggernauts that are going to come out in November of next year, and it needs some breathing room. So even probably October might be fine, honestly, or September,
maybe summer, maybe late summer.
Summer would be maybe. Nice. I just don't know how far along it is at this point because they have been okay. pretty mum's the word about it. But I mean, again, I'm excited. Moving Next. Forward, let's talk DLC now. Bloodborne is getting its first DLC pack called The Old Hunters, coming November 24th. Really, just we got a brief CGI trailer about it. Looks like there is new weapon types, new enemy types, some new combat moves. Essentially, more of this. If you like Bloodborne, you're going to be all over this. Mm-hmm. I need to go back and actually beat Bloodborne because it's so hard and it makes me ashamed that I'm so stuck on it. So it's motivation for me to get through it and then hopefully be like, you know what, that was fun. I could play some DLC. But again, you know, if you're eager for Dark Souls 3, this will help satiate your wait for sure.
Okay.
Moving next DLC, Drive Club now has motorcycles. Literally right now they are already available. Like they went live the night they announced it. So I mean, me personally, I like Drive Club. I know I'm a supreme minority there, but I think it's a really fun game. I don't know what they're charging for the bike expansion. I have to look that up, but I could see myself maybe looking into it at some point. You know, maybe if it was combined with the full game, it's like, you know, if you pay $20, you get everything plus the bikes. Possibly, because I haven't played a good bike game since like MotoGP like 07 or something years ago. Because I guess it's just kind of fallen out of fashion. But if you like motorcycles, you know, there aren't that many choices out there. You probably should look up Drive Club. Moving forward, Gravity Rush has got a sequel now, which was a Vita game.
I'm very curious about that game.
If you have a Vita. So,
you know what? I like the Vita game.
It looked fun. I remember seeing the when it came out. I'm like, yeah, that's a critical concept. So, you know, this trailer that they showed gameplay wise expands on that. It looks like a PS4 release, obviously. They said that there's going to have a two player, co-op, but it's like an AI partner, which is weird. I don't know if they meant it's an AI partner unless a friend joins, but it just specifically said AI partner. So I kind of hope that means co-op in the future, maybe. But Gravity Rush is interesting. You have to watch a video for it. It's based on the concept of the main character can either accelerate or reduce gravity based on her needs and manipulate the environment, destroy. It seemed very cool. Seemed like a neat next-gen gameplay idea. Moving forward, the big elephant in the room. Oh my God, Uncharted 4, Thief's End, coming March 18th. We are not prepared for it. It will be amazing. They showed multiplayer footage, kind of. Heavily edited CGI multiplayer footage, but I gotta say, it looks really, really fun. And I was kind of, you know, Uncharted 2 and 3's multiplayer were okay to me. I didn't really play them that long. But this, you know, if the style and tone of what they're implying from this trailer is representative of the actual gameplay, I can see myself playing a lot of this multiplayer because it's so different from everything else out there. Did you guys have similar reactions about that?
All right, very quick. The multiplayer side is a wait and see for me. But okay. I'm very curious because I love Uncharted 2.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love that game so much.
It's practically perfect.
3 is okay. I just want to play the campaign. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not buying this game because of the multiplayer. There's games out there that I know the multiplayer is going to be, like, legit, mm-hmm. you know? I'm not saying that Uncharted's multiplayer is crappy. It's just something that I feel that the thing that I love about Uncharted is the story.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm buying this for the campaign. Yeah, I'll try the multiplayer, but it's not like I'm going to the store just for.
Well, yeah, I don't think anyone is realistically going to do that. But, you know, based off of previous experiences of the fun I had in Uncharted 2 and 3's multiplayer, because it is, there's no other multiplayer game like it, essentially. Tomb Raider, the original multiplayer was similar in its regards, but the whole concept of a third person, high energy, active, you know, parkour based multiplayer where you can run, jump, hang, do all the same crazy stuff you do in single player against other people. That sounds like it'd be a lot of fun because essentially like a giant jungle gym you're all playing on while shooting at each other. So it seems like it'd be a blast to have, you know, play with friends, crack some laughs, have a great time. But I mean, obviously, you know, the super serious single player is, you know, where all the attention's going to be. But for me, if they're taking the time to make the multiplayer, I'm already interested because people like Naughty Dog, they don't waste their time with half-assing something.
Okay.
In my opinion, personally, because I really like their games a lot.
All right, keep it up.
Okay, so Media Molecule responsible for things like Little Big Planet, obviously. Their new game is called Dreams. If you didn't see the D3's press conference this year, it is essentially a first-person creative game where in terms of you make your own dreams or enter other people's dreams and command them at will. So you have like an avatar you customize and control. They can possess people, vehicles, objects. You can spawn and change depending on the settings of the map that the player allows you to add new things, retract new things. It's essentially that Little Big Planet 3 style of gameplay where it can be a platformer, a puzzler, a racer, a creation game. It kind of just jumps all over the place, a master, you know, the jack of all trades, master of none kind of mentality. But with that heavily emphasis on the surrealism of these are dreams. They are strange. They are very strange in some instances. I'm just curious, like, how far they'll take that. You know, is it just going to be cutesy dream stuff? Or are we going to get into like more, you know, abstract surrealist kind of horror stuff? You know, nothing like, you know, nightmarish, but just, you know, I feel like there's a lot of opportunity here with this a game making about dreams. And, you know, from what I've seen, it's just nothing has been like, yeah, that looks awesome. It's more like, oh, it seems interesting, but I'm seeing a tech demo. So maybe it's just me. It seemed very tech demo-y heavy. But again, that like I wasn't that much into a Little Big Planet to begin with. So maybe it's just not the type of game for me, but it seems interesting. So I definitely would follow the development further. Moving on. Now we're getting into VR games. So now they pretty much shifted into the Morpheus portion of the show. So we have a couple of things here they have been known about in the past, namely Rigs, which is essentially their like MLG style esport that's first person. You have a you put the Morpheus on and you're controlling like essentially like an airborne mech thing that you pilot around like a jetpack with guns, and you're doing like competitive, almost like Rocket League style, playing for points and scoring and goals, stuff like that. It seems like a pretty, you know, decent day one Morpheus game teaching you how to do VR. Pretty straightforward. I don't see myself really bothering with something like this. For me, VR is more of the psychological things I want to play. So now we get into things like Until Dawn is getting its first, I guess you'd call VR. It expansion, VR expansion called Rush of Blood. And they basically explained it as a, like a VR roller coaster game, similar to if you've ever been to like Adventure Island down in Florida, that like that kind of stuff. So that sounds interesting, but I'm kind of bummed that it's not like this actual more Until Dawn. I'd rather have that. But I'm curious enough because I know I'm probably going to get a Morpheus at some point because I'm all on board with VR. It looks amazing. Bring it on. So I would try this, but I hope that would just mean that they're getting more attention and money, hopefully, for an actual sequel to Until Dawn, because God knows we need more games like that.
And it's not something that will make you buy a PlayStation.
No. VR, if you already have a Morpheus, it's kind of like, you know, yeah. I got a Morpheus. What games are available day one? Oh, they got a horror game. They got an esports game. I'm going to kind of jump around here and there. It's testing the waters because you got to get people familiar with the concept. Because even yes, me, like I agreed. When I played at E3 at Oculus Rift, I thought like, you know, I'm immune to motion sickness. I've never had it in my life. 30 minutes of Oculus Rift later, I felt like I was going to throw up. I was like, okay, yeah, this is very different from previous experiences. You have to adjust yourself to this.
Yeah. All right, pause it. We're gonna take a short break quick. It's a 30-minute mark. We're going to take a short break. And once we come back, I'm going to play two reviews back to back. First is the Guitar Hero Live review. And then Pete is also going to be reviewing Assassin's Creed Syndicate. Once we come back after those reviews, we're going to continue talking about PlayStation's press conference live from Paris. So we'll be right back after this.
Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
There's still plenty of football to be played this season, but it already feels like the playoffs at DraftKings.com, where millionaires are being crowned all season long. DraftKings is fantasy football on demand. With so much money up for grabs, every game is the big game and every play matters. Renew old rivalries or create new ones by playing head-to-head with friends, coworkers, and fantasy players across the nation. This isn't fantasy as usual. This is DraftKings. Welcome to the big time. Like we've been saying all season, folks, why be stuck in a season-long fantasy football league draft when you can play every week at DraftKings.com, pick your players, set up your matchups, and cash in? Look, people were talking about Tom Brady early in the season. Now people are talking about Devontae Freeman. I mean, there's always going to be that gem that you can find. If you can find them at a low price, you can be a winner at DraftKings. So hurry to DraftKings.com now and turn your love of football into a life-changing payday. Use our promo code GAMERTAG and play for free with your first deposit in Sunday's $1 million fantasy football contest. First place takes home $100,000. Enter that promo code GAMERTAG for a free entry now only at DraftKings.com. That is DraftKings.com.
This is Gamer Tag Radio. Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so now it is time for my review of Guitar Hero Live for the Xbox One, but this is also available on PlayStation 4, PlayStation 3, Xbox 360, Wii U, iPhone, iPad, and Pod Touch. For more information, head over to guitarhero.com and have everything there. So now, this game is developed by Freestyle Games. For those who don't know, they are one of my favorite developers. They worked on DJ Hero 1 and 2 back in the days, and I love that game so much. So hopefully in the future, they probably will bring back DJ Hero on the new generation of consoles and stuff. So now, you know, I played a lot of the Guitar Hero games throughout the years and stuff. You know, I started, my first Guitar Hero was Part 2, and it was for the Xbox 360, and I became a huge fan of the Guitar Hero series. Then it got a little bit corny towards the end. It was like too many games out. It was very, very confusing, trying to copy Rock Band. Not a fan of that. This game, so different than the previous Guitar Hero games, it got my attention, and here's why. This one has real actors on the screen while you're playing the game, and their emotion and their acting is like a little bit way too much, that it just got really, really corny and repetitive after a while. I was not really feeling it, but here's why I think this is a game changer. That was for Guitar Hero Live, but when you go to Guitar Hero TV, it's something brand new, no downloads. It's streaming 24/7. Basically, this is a TV live stream TV station where you could go and play songs whenever you want for free. And if you do want to unlock more songs, you could, let's say, pay for like one day. Let's say a bunch of your friends head over to your house and everybody wants to try out multiple songs. Instead of downloading it, hey, pay a cheap price and you have everything unlocked. And you go and say, basically like on demand, right? But it's your choice. You could pick whatever you want. Or let's say you don't want to pay that. You could play throughout the time. And depending on your skills and you level up, you unlock a lot of cool things in the game. And you could also get like coins that you could use that with to unlock certain songs that you want. So let's say you get 10 songs you can unlock, that you got it for free, you could do that. So you don't have to pay at all. But here's why this is a game changer. Sometimes when you're playing Guitar Hero, it feels like you're under pressure. Oh, man, I don't want to mess up or whatever. This one, I never got that vibe. I just go and play real songs. I'm talking about real music videos that you play. For example, I played Korn. It randomly played throughout the day. There's a schedule on what type of songs they're going to be playing throughout the day, and it's every 30 minutes is a new brand new playlist. But when you play, it looks like you're watching like an old school MTV or VH1, like that type of vibe of videos. You don't know what's coming up, so you go in there, play, and you don't have to worry about losing. What you need to worry about is getting points, and on the side you're going to see your friends that also have the game, or people throughout the world that have Guitar Hero Live, and you just got to play to see if you could beat them or not. Now, I like that part so much that now every time I get home, I'm curious to see what they're going to be playing. So I always turn on my game, Xbox, and start playing that right away. Really, really cool concept. Another thing too, once you level up in a certain level, you could also unlock premium content. So let's say exclusive concerts that's only available within the game, and you could just play it for free for the first time. And then every few weeks, they're going to be adding new content all the time. So let's say the first time I got to play it, there was one concert there that was only available for 2 weeks. And then the next 2 weeks, there's going to be another concert added and stuff. So truly, truly amazing. You should check that part out, because I had a blast playing it. So, so much fun. Campaign, not a fan of it. TV is a game changer. Highly, highly recommended. Now, let's talk about the guitar. The guitar, the design is totally different than anything else out there. Not like the past Guitar Hero games, not like Rock Band, but it's basically there's six buttons now. There's three blacks, three whites. So it's on the top and the bottom. And throughout the game, you'll see sometimes we'll say middle, black, and white. So you have to hit it both at the same time. Or it will say, it will show top black. It's so, so well done. And I love the design. It's a, at first, it looks and feels a little bit weird. But once you start practicing, after a while, you get used to it. And it feels really, really comfortable. I like that they made a change instead of going to the, you know, the safe route. So let me explain a little bit about the campaign. There's different indie bands in the US and the UK, and you travel to different venues and you're going to be playing to the crowd, and the crowd is going to be watching your performance, and based on how do you play with the guitar, you're going to see their emotions. If they like it, they go crazy and they scream like, oh, you know, they're going to become more of a fan. If they don't, then the crowd will be booing you and not liking you. And even your band members are going to be looking at you like, hey, why are you playing the guitar so bad? After you finish the, let's say it's three songs per video. So once you finish in the background, this is the cool part that I like, that you get to hear radio stations from that area talking about you. And you also will see tweets of fans that got to see you play live. So you see like their reaction, like if they like it or not. So, but the reason why I didn't like the campaign, it felt very repetitive. The acting was just too much for me. And I think that on Guitar Hero TV, there's a better playlist and better songs than the actual campaign. So I spend more of my time playing the Guitar Hero TV. And plus, I don't have to worry about losing. I'm worrying about getting points. You know, so there's no stress playing Guitar Hero TV. I think that this is a pretty cool game. You know, if you're a fan of Guitar Hero, check it out. This is something cool and different. And I think it's very innovative that they started doing this type of things, you know. So check it out. If the guitar, love the design. And I love Guitar Hero TV. Not a fan of the campaign at all. I think it's very, very repetitive. The acting was kind of cheesy. So I'd rather watch Guitar Hero TV because there's real music videos and you play that and you see it and it brings back a lot of memories of those that time when there was like, you know, MTV and VH1 and other music channels out there that were just playing music videos all the time, you know. So it brings back a lot of memories, and I think this is a really, really cool concept. And that was my review of Guitar Hero Live. And now let's go with P-Rock. He has a review of Assassin's Creed Syndicate. Let's play it right now.
Hello, chaps, and welcome to my review of Ubisoft's Assassin's Creed Syndicate. Ubisoft was gracious enough to provide us with a copy of the game for review. Now, we did receive review copies for both consoles, but due to the fact that greatness awaits for me later this month, this review is based on my experiences with the Xbox One version. Assassin's Creed Syndicate takes place in Victorian-era London. That means we're talking 1868 and just after the Industrial Revolution. This means steam engines, communications, and factory smoke in the air are changing the world around us. This also means Templars have gotten their hooks into every facet of life, and it's up to our two protagonists, Evie and Jacob Fry, to get involved. Evie and Jacob are twin sibling assassins like their father before them. Evie is the traditional assassin type with an advanced stealth mechanic and a desire to stick to the more traditional methods and history of the Assassin's Order, while Jacob is more of a bull in the china shop type personality. He also has a dream of building up his own crew called the Rooks, which plays an integral role in Syndicate. Besides the introduction and minor bit parts, there really isn't any current day interaction, which means the game's focus is directly on 1868 London and the twins' battle against the Templar industrialist Crawford Starrick and his Blighter's crew. I have to say, Starrick's character is very reminiscent of William Cutting from Gangs of New York, and like Daniel Day-Lewis's portrayal, has an amazing mustache. So if you're familiar with the movie, you'll understand exactly how Starrick is all about. The game's premise has the twins fighting through the nine boroughs of London and liberating the city from the clutches of Starrick via Templar hunts, child liberation, where you free kids from forced labor in Starrick's various enterprises, and gang strongholds. There's not just the main story to keep you moving through the game. The side missions, namely those of Charles Dickens and Alexander Graham Bell, add a great change of pace to the relentless attack and grind of the main story. Stealth mechanics have improved as well. You're no longer required to hit a button to activate cover, as it's an actual automatic function if you're in sneak mode. The newest additions to the game includes vehicles in the way of horse-drawn carriages. These vehicles allow you to traverse the massive expanse of London much quicker than in previous iterations. You can even drift carriages. Drifting in a carriage. It's not Need for Speed or anything, and although it's a bit ridiculous to imagine considering the time period, but it's so much fun when you're being chased in your carriage and drifting through the streets of London. The carriages, especially the Growlers, maneuver surprisingly well considering the franchise and time period. The best new addition has to be the rope launcher. The rope launcher gives your assassin the ability to quickly scale tall buildings and cross massive street expanses a la the Arkham series. You won't be launched into the air, but it's a great tool to aid in the get-in, get-out situations your character will definitely be in. While the action mechanics have also definitely improved, albeit they're a bit easier in my opinion, with Assassin's Creed Syndicate, your assassin is now imbued with several weapons of choice. There's knuckle dusters, also known as brass knuckles, and are great for stunning your opponents, especially when you're surrounded. The kukri, which is a short Indian-inspired curved short sword, are great for those up-and-close personal moments. Hack and slash was definitely fun with these, but my favorite has to be the sword cane. The sword cane executions make for some of the most brutal finishes in recent history. One more thing, fans of the Assassin's Creed franchise will notice is the lack of multiplayer. Now, if I'm not mistaken, this is not a first, but it's a first for main release AC games. And while some fans may disagree, to my personal opinion, it's not missed. I think the decision to not include multiplayer and focus on the story and campaign helped the overall polish. Not to say that Syndicate is free of bugs or glitches, because I did have a few, but when compared to Unity, you can tell that Syndicate is the much better game from start to finish, and overall is probably up in the top two or three of the franchise. Overall, Syndicate is a leap forward for the Assassin's Creed franchise, and while it's not perfect, is a much-needed change of pace and direction that should allay fears for Assassin's Creed fans and entice the new. I definitely recommend picking it up. Also, taking place 20 years after the events of Syndicate, Jack the Ripper comes to London to terrorize the streets in the form of a paid DLC. Players can purchase this separately or obtain it and several other planned add-on missions, weapons and gears, and more via the Season Pass. Assassin's Creed Syndicate is rated M for Mature and is available now for PS4 and Xbox One. The PC version will come out later this month on November 19th. And with that, I'll send it back to the guys.
Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
Remember last week when Pete and I were talking about printer ink and toner? Well, those were our friends at LDProducts.com, the ink and toner experts. True to their word, they sent me over a sample of their printer ink so I could use it with my printer at home. And let me tell you, it may not be the name brand printer ink that everyone's looking for when they go to the store, but it works just as well without any issues at all. And here's the thing with LDProducts.com. They offer a quality alternative at a fraction of the cost. You can save up to 70% off the expensive name brands. They've been in business for 16 years, and LD Products ships more than 6 million cartridges every year. Their U.S.-based customer service is open 7 days a week from their 110,000 square foot building out here in California. They also offer an unprecedented lifetime customer satisfaction guarantee on all LD brand cartridges, which you can also return any of their products for any reason at all. So, folks, use our promo code GTR. Get free shipping and an additional 10% off the already huge savings that you're getting on your ink and toner at LDProducts.com. Once again, that promo code is GTR. Use it at checkout. That is LDProducts.com. This offer is valid through 12/31/2015. It excludes OEM and free shipping to the contiguous U.S. Once again, that is LDProducts.com, the ink and toner experts.
This is Gamer Tag Radio. Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so that was a review of Guitar Hero Live and also Assassin's Creed Syndicate. Thanks, Pete, for the review.
No worries.
I review mine, you know, for Guitar Hero and stuff. So, awesome. So let's continue with this press conference. Go for it.
Okay, so we're still into VR territory. They announced a new game called Robinson the Journey, which is obviously a pretty heavily homage to Robinson Crusoe. Pure CGI, no gameplay whatsoever. Seems to be a first-person survival game on an island with dinosaurs on it. And you're being guided by like a little Guilty Spark-style robot. Or like, you know, what is it? Wesley from Portal 2, that whole style of gameplay of being like, follow me, do this, be careful, human, don't die, you know, that kind of stuff. Yeah. Tongue in cheek. But it seems like it'd be a cool concept. But again, all we've seen is pure CGI. But I mean, again, dinosaurs, first person VR, sign me up, sounds cool.
And using the CryEngine, so you know it's going to look beautiful.
It's a very, very pretty game. Yes, indeed. So then we're going to jump over into, guess what? They're making a Gran Turismo for PS4. I know everyone's holding their breath for this, but it is real. It is called Gran Turismo Sport, and the beta will begin testing in early 2016.
So that game, I think, is coming out in 2017. There's no way that game's coming out in 2016.
No, that's why they laughed when they asked when it was going to be done. Yeah, this is definitely heavily in development. They spend years making these games to make them as perfect as possible. If you're into Sims, this is like the Sim for a lot of people. You're probably already excited about this. I throw my hands up in the air when it asked me to do a virtual driver's license test to play an actual game. I'm like, nope, that's where I draw the line. Sorry, I'm going to go play Burnout now. But Gran Turismo seems like it's returned to form. It'll be like, yeah, a really fun sim if you like those kind of games. Okay, so now let's transition into the two big titles that, in my opinion, that were shown at this game show. We're going to start off with Michael Ancel's new game, Wild, which was talked about earlier this year at E3, but now we have full gameplay, what was revealed for this game.
Pawson. I got my attention, but keep on.
Yeah, so it's like in a nutshell. Like,
I just want to say that right quick. Got my attention.
So in a nutshell, if you know nothing about Wild at all, what it's portraying itself as is a large open world game set in a tribalistic society. It's unknown if it's Earth, unknown where it's supposed to be set, but the main character you play as is a shaman, like an actual shaman who can communicate with animals, with nature, summon elements, and it looks like you're tasked by either your village or you're helping other people to go and assist your fellow tribesmen or humanity in general. So a brief bit of the gameplay that we saw is that the shaman can automatically, not automatically, but it can perform spells to control animals. So you can control a hawk in the sky. You can fly like a hawk, and you have the hawk supervision as well, so you can see like a little tiny snake slithering on the ground. And you're like, I need some anti-venom to cure a snake bite. Let me grab a snake with my hawk and bring the snake back to my shaman. And then it's like, I need to get from point A to point B because that's too far away to walk. I can summon a bear and ride that bear to where I need to go. Then you get to that location, you're like, there's a bunch of cannibals over there. I can't fight them one-on-one. I need to get rid of them. You can possess crows to come down and distract everybody else and then run up on your bear mount like a bear warrior and just start clawing people left and right and throwing them around. Mm-hmm. So essentially, if you've ever wanted to play as an animal, this is the game for you. If you've ever wanted to be a shaman, this is the game for you. If you just like strange gameplay ideas, for me, this is a breath of fresh air into an industry that has had too many guns, I think. And I love guns. I love first-person shooters. But thankfully, there are no guns in this game. It is magic. It is shamanistic powers. It's communicating with nature. It is using animals to summon spiritualistic avatars that are like the deities, the goddesses and gods of this world. So little of the game's mythology is even hinted at, but the way it's portrayed and how beautiful it is to see and to play, from what I can imagine from seeing the gameplay video, this seems like a potential game of the year already. Whenever year this comes out.
I wouldn't go there.
I'm serious. Like, this is a game changer to me because this is something that no one else has done.
I love the concept. I love exploring. I love the whole thing. It's something brand new that I haven't seen in a very, very long time, or I haven't seen ever. But I wouldn't call it game of the year. That's a little bit too much.
That's me being a fanboy because, like, again, I love Michael Ancel. I mean, he gave us Rayman. He gave us Beyond Good and Evil. He's not going to give us Beyond Good and Evil 2. So Wild, for me, is a pretty damn good replacement for that because I am all for new IPs. And having someone like Michael Ancel, who his name has such power in the industry, to get things done, I imagine most of his vision for this game is in the game, because too often people are bogged down by the legal, the financial, all the other red tape that goes into making a game. Michael Ancel, I feel like, would have the pull to be like, no, let's make it this way. He doesn't need guns. It doesn't need online multiplayer or another nonsense we're talking about. Let's make something different. So for me,
and we don't know that yet.
No, again, I don't know anything. I'm speculating here, but based off of the brief, 10-minute gameplay video that I've seen of Wild, I am 100% on board for this, just because it is so radically different from everything else out there. So again,
I just don't know.
Watch this video.
I can't see multiplayer being a concept. What are you going to do, rabbits on rabbits?
Yeah. So again, I'm just saying, like, crows can fight the rabbits, and you can do like team snakes, and like, I mean, I don't know. Yes, I prefer a single player game with a lot of depth and story, and a cool world to explore. I would prefer that. But again, Michael Ancel is a crazy genius, so he's going to do whatever he wants to do, and I'm going to be like, yes, I'm all on board for that. So that's Wild. On the complete opposite end of the spectrum now, let's talk about Mr. David Cage. If you don't know who David Cage is, he makes the crazy games like Heavy Rain and Beyond Two Souls. The anti-games, a lot of people like to call them. I think they're really, really cool experiences, and I love them. So this new one...
You should mention the company.
Yeah. What is the company called?
I said Quantic Dream.
Quantic Dream? So Quantic Dream, David Cage's company... is making a new game called Detroit. And Detroit stars an android who essentially becomes about as human as an android can be and wakes up in a world essentially being born like a baby on day one and having to figure out how cruel and harsh and cold the world actually is when you start off with such enthusiasm and optimism and you realize what the world is actually like. And then you have this whole, Deus Ex concept of, people really hate androids. They don't like non-humans. They don't like people being augmented on. So it's this whole really sharp divide. And this is all told in a brief CGI trailer. No gameplay is shown. We really don't know what to expect from this game. But it's all about the tone, the setting, the emotional resonance that this game would draw out of you. Based on previous David Cage experiences, I think this is going to be a new benchmark for human emotion in the game. For just basically having that 1-1 analog with the human actors performing with the mocap stuff all over their face. And you're like, wow, this literally is like a movie, but it's better because I'm controlling it. I decide the outcome. Again, as David Cage says, as his past games have been indicative of, this game is all about choice. It is all about you making your own path in this world. We don't know what the gameplay is going to be.
It will change.
It will change.
The story.
Everyone's going to have their own unique experience with Detroit. So that gets me very excited. You have two games on two ends of the spectrum that are doing things that no one else is doing right now. And that's from people like David Cage and Michael Ancel.
I love that because the thing is, they're taking a risk. And I feel that a lot of companies that release the same games over and over and over again, they're comfortable with that and they know there's a fan base for that. So they're going to make money right away.
Yeah.
Now, when you have a publisher that releases a game that has never been done before, it's very, very risky. And I hope those type of games get the support, because then in the future we might see a sequel. We might see more companies doing this type of games, mm-hmm. or maybe even better.
Yeah.
So it all depends on the gamers, if they're going to support this type of game in the future,
Yeah, that's my one hesitation is I'm curious what David Cage's thoughts are on his previous games like Heavy Rain and Beyond Two Souls and how they were received. Because a lot of people were like, these aren't games. And he's like, it doesn't matter. They're experiences. And I agree with him. But a lot of people disagree. And I can respect that. If someone bought Heavy Rain not knowing what it was, they'd be pretty disappointed. Let's be honest. It is a unique style of game, something of Beyond. I don't imagine Detroit would be that different from that. I don't expect it to be like a third-person shooter out of nowhere or something. I think it's going to be a character, human drama.
Do you think it's going to be like similar to Until Dawn?
I could see that, because I think Until Dawn was kind of like the penultimate version of that gameplay, where it's just enough of a game to count, but it's still the experience as well. So I would like that. I would like to have a 1-1 control for the main android girl. I want to be able to move around with the stick, move the camera around. I don't want to have to like hold R2 and hold something else to walk straight like Heavy Rain did. Like, make it a normal game and then add unique gameplay concepts on top of that. Because like for David Cage, it shines. Is you're making gameplay out of things that you normally wouldn't think would be gameplay. So if Detroit can be what I'm envisioning it can be, I think it could be that step to be like, look, people, that's cool. You like Call of Duty and Madden and Halo, But look at this. Look at what games can do. Just give it a chance, and you might have your mind blown. If you don't, that's fine. Go back to shooting things. But try these other experiences, because the fact that these things are even getting made in the current climate, where you think that, you know, when you look at Call of Duty's numbers every year, and you're like, why would anyone even dare to risk making a crazy game like this? That's why gaming is the best, in my opinion, because you have these visionaries,
I agree.
These Kojimas, these Miyamotos, these Ansels, these Cages, that have the visionary and charisma and the power to get what they want. To be like, I can visualize what I see in my head right now. We now have the technology. Let's make that happen. And let's see what people think about it. I'm really excited.
Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
Socks. That's right. Socks. Anyone that knows me or follows me on social media knows I have a thing for socks. And I have to tell you guys about Mack Weldon. These guys were dope enough to send me a few pairs. And I have to say, they're the most comfortable things in the history of hosiery. Yeah, I just said that, didn't I? Whatever, I'm sticking with it. They're that good. They stay up. They have this little padding on the bottom that literally feels like little pillows for your feet. And not just that, they're mad stylish as well. They also sent me some t-shirts. I mean, who doesn't dig t-shirts, right? But these shirts are special. They have this thing called XT2 silver, which means they've got silver woven into the fabric of the shirt. And because of the silver tech in the shirts, means they're antimicrobial and anti-odor. And with Fallout 4 coming out soon, this means you can literally get lost in the wasteland for days without smelling or needing VADs to get healthy. And if that wasn't enough, if you don't dig what you get, doesn't fit right or whatever, they'll replace it or refund your money, no questions asked, or returns needed. The whole process is a breeze. Just head on over to MackWeldon.com. That's MackWeldon.com to place your order and get 20% off by using the promo code GTR. That's promo code GTR and save 20% right now over at MackWeldon.com.
Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
I wonder what Pete thinks. Pete have been very quiet with these two games.
Hey, Poston had an amazing show, having the Poston show. The Poston
it is the Poston show one. Part two.
So I'm just going to let him go. I'm just going to let him roll with it, dude. He's doing a great job. No. Of the games that were announced, Detroit was definitely one of the games that stuck out just because it's different. It's got although it does touch upon the whole Deus Ex type concept.
Yeah.
It was something that really stuck out. I was like, oh, this could be interesting. This could be one of those games that steps away from the whole, you know, from the whole shooter. And I'm not going to say the name for people.
Mm-hmm. we have.
It's definitely one of those games that stuck out for me as piquing my interest. And since I will be picking up PlayStation 4 in the coming weeks, along with the Uncharted bundle, you know, that'll be a game that will definitely be on my radar if and when it ever comes out.
So awesome. That's good, man. Cause you know what? I feel that, look, as a gamer, I think, in a way, it's our fault that we're not expressing ourselves, or like, how I say this, like, I want for us to start supporting games is totally different. Because honestly, like, imagine we still support the same games over and over and over and over and over again in the future. Then I feel that gaming is going to get boring after a while. It's like, man, it's the same thing over and over. Yeah. But if you support, like, let's say, indie games or this type of game that's coming out in the future, I think that will help get the word out, and also will will get the attention from a lot of developers to start creating new type of games for us, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying go out and pre-order or whatever for this game, but at least let's be a little excited, do some research, and let's just wait and see what happens once the game's, you know, releases. Mm-hmm. And stuff like, I really, really love Until Dawn.
Yes, like, me that too. Game to I could gush about it all day.
Now, how many people that we know actually bought that game? Not that many.
Nobody.
You know, and it's very, sad. Very sad, man. Very, very sad. But when it's like a first-person shooter or whatever, they'll buy that right away, you know? So it's you know, are you guys going to be supporting the same thing over and over, or you want something different?
Let's be fair. Some people,
no, it is fair.
Some people, video games truly is just a hobby and nothing more. To us, it's obviously much, much more than that. But the people that just play games for fun, I wouldn't consider Until Dawn a fun game at a core concept, because it's a very stressful experience from start to finish. But if you like that, it is amazing because of that. But for people that like to unwind after work and play Grand Theft Auto and run some people over and go on rampages, you know, you're not going to get that in, you know, Detroit, Until Dawn, Wild. These are all different experiences. But I would hope that, you know, if you've made, especially if people that have went ahead and made the investment in the PS4 or the Xbox One and have already committed to an next-gen console, be open-minded, please. I mean, I know you're still going to play the things you want to play because you play games to have fun. But if you've already got the technology, and certainly if you have a PC, you have an unbelievable breadth of titles available to you from as many independent developers as you can think of, doing all kinds of crazy stuff, go ahead and give them a chance. Because the more this stuff rises to the top, so the more we talk about it, the industry notices that. The publishers notice this stuff and are like, wow, this is actually getting response. We didn't think about this in our boardroom meeting, but maybe we should reevaluate how we approach these things going forward. Because that's how we have to make the change. We have to be vocal with both our wallets and, you know, our word. You know, tell, if you like a game, tell someone about it. Don't just say it's good. Explain to them like why it was like nothing else you ever played before. For my example, I just had a friend come over and like, you know, this is Until Dawn. I'm telling you nothing about it. Play it in front of me. And I had the blast of my life watching someone else play that game. It's completely different than I did and having a different experience. So I just love things like that, that just build on the concept of like, you the gamer, it's your experience. It's unique. Go have a journey. Go have adventure. Go do something different from the norm. You always can come back and play your Halos and Call of Duties and your Maddens and your 2Ks. They're always going to be there for you every year. But look around you. The gaming sphere has never been brighter than it's been before. I mean, this is our new golden age. We're entering like a new ultimate period of gaming. Like 2016 is going to be bananas. And I can't even imagine what they're going to announce at 2016 to be like, oh, guess what's coming next year? I'm like, well, man, I can't handle this right now. So, man, it's such a great time to be a gamer, no matter what console you have or PC or handheld. I mean, it's, man, this year is going to be exciting, but next year, we ain't ready.
Yeah, it's going to be nuts. All right, so I think we're going to wrap it up, Pawson. That was a great, perfect timing too, Pawson. Props.
Pretty good.
Yeah, Pete, we got to give him a props, Pete. This is the Pawson show. Back to back.
We're just going
to
call it Pawson Tag Radio for the next couple weeks.
So hashtag that, guys. The Pawson show. Yeah, man. Thanks, Pawson.
No problem.
So, look, guys, head over to GamerTagRadio.com. Post your comments, feedback. Also, listen to our past episodes or head over to Play.it. Shout out to the whole CBS Radio family over there. We've been doing great this month, the month of October and stuff. So, shout out to everybody. Also, give us a call at 76-273-7GTR. That's 76-273-7GTR. Or email us, fanmail at gamertagradio.com. Next episode coming out this Thursday, we have, of course, fan mail. And we also have an interview with Greg Rice. He's going to be promoting. He works at Double Fine, by the way. He's going to be promoting this event happening this weekend. Pawson, what's the name of it?
Day of the Devs.
Day of the Devs.
I believe it's their third year. They've had a lot of good response.
Yeah, yes. A lot of indie games and stuff.
If you like indie games, make sure you follow Day of the Devs. And they're also going to be streaming that online as well. So if you get a chance on Twitch, check it out as well.
Yeah, great interview. I really had a great time recording that. All right, guys. So until Thursday, we're out. Peace in the Middle East. We're out. Peace.
You're listening to Gamer Tag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Thanks for listening. Tune in next week.